But you ladies have been so kind. If we can ever help you, my email is very simple. It's just dhautry, my first initial, last name, at yahoo.com. It's that simple. Sometimes things get lost in the shuffle in church emails and stuff, but we're in Kernersville, North Carolina, in the Triad area, they call it. Raleigh area is called the Triangle area. Where we're at was called the Triad. Most of you know that. And if you're ever coming through, you're welcome to stop by, and we would appreciate that. And I just want you to know, you've been awfully kind. I have really enjoyed this conference. And let me just say this, even if you just didn't enjoy what I had to do at all, you treated me with respect and kindness and kind of made me think you did. And I appreciate that. Seriously, you just, you know, that's what we do in the South. That's what we do in the South. We talk about you after you leave. But to your face, we love you. Oh, we just let your God bless you. Then you leave, and then we talk about you. And then all these years I've preached an evangelist up north, they just don't say anything. If they say it, you know they mean it. But down in the South, you're just not quite sure. And Virginia's right there in the middle. So you're not real sure. Are they the northern side or the southern side? And you guys have been so gracious and kind. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And I wanted to speak on this subject, thou knowest not. One last shot before you go home. What do we do? We've had all of this wonderful things. I thought last night was a fantastic spirit in the house of God. And it was, these are what advances are for. I've seen it happen 1,000 times. You get people away from their day-to-day, away from the responsibilities, many times away from the TV all day, and you get them in church all day. And you kind of get them away from that reality a little bit, and you come aside, set apart a little bit, and you give God the actual chance to work. You know, God will work if you give him the chance. And our minds are so focused on other things. And we're about to that point that we're just now getting a little bit of that world off of us so that we can start having revival. And then it's time to go home. So, you know, preacher, what do we do? I want you to, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, a familiar passage. Just 6 verses, and amazing, we're talking about bread again. I should have brought those loaves back. It would have been full circle. I'd have thrown it right at Dan for making fun of my props. And look at verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so, thou knowest not. There's the third time. Here we go. The works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed. And in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. You and I have been left with a lot of questions after 2020. And I found as a church that we've been taken out of our comfort zones. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's a difficult thing because you just don't get some people back. And even you might get them back at church, but you just don't get them back plugged in like they were. We have found out that we've not been able at times to do things the way we've always done them. And some of those things will never change. There's a new normal now, and we certainly understand that. And so let me ask you this, that because we can't do what we've always done, we can't do it the way we've always done it, and things are just in a bit disarray. We don't know what's going to happen, you know, next month. And I mean, we watch what's going on with Ukraine and Russia, and then we watch what's going on at home and all these different things, and, you know, what in the world. So let me ask you this. So what are we supposed to do? Are we, as God's people, are we just supposed to kind of back down? Are we supposed to kind of just sit back, just kind of let things play out? Are we just supposed to acknowledge the obstacles in our country and in our culture and just kind of say, hey, you know, we gave it a good shot. We tried while we could. And I just don't believe that's the answer. I want to encourage you today as you head back to your churches to sow seed in 2022. This chapter gives us principles about sowing and reaping. And it gives us these principles to motivate us to sow seed. May I say this? I believe that we need a revival of seed sowing. The Bible says, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Here's the issue. If we don't sow seed, there will never be a harvest. And so as culture and circumstances have taken us out of our normal rhythm of things, here's what I have found. Oftentimes in churches, it has just given us the excuse, since we can't do it the way we've always done it, we haven't done anything at all. We have paralyzed ourselves by the circumstances. And in this passage, now just think about this. Solomon was on a search through life. He observed a whole lot of things, and Solomon observed a whole lot of people, and he was kind of on a search for the meaning of life and what is all this, and Solomon was considered the wisest man that ever lived, although I question that. Now, the Bible says it, so the Bible's right, but he married almost 1,000 wives. That's crazy. That is just crazy. I don't know what he's thinking, and Solomon's on a search for things in life and all this, all these different things. Now, if you can with me, Solomon was king. Solomon lived in the nicest residence that anyone's ever lived in. Solomon had more money proportionate to what was available on the earth. Solomon was the wealthiest man that has ever existed. Solomon had everything he wanted. He had every woman he wanted. He had every luxury he wanted, and he was on a search for what this all meant. Of course, we know that basically Solomon came up with that life is vanity. But what's interesting here in these six verses, he talks about this thing. He gives us these principles. He says, this is what I have found works. This is what I have found that you need to incorporate into your life. Now, let's just think for a second. Solomon probably never one day in his life worked in a field. Solomon probably never buried any seed, sowed any seed. Solomon never probably went out in that field and harvested the grain and all those things. But Solomon, being king, he watched everyone do it. He watched the servants do it. And he observed, and he watched as he was in that Cush residence. He watched as individuals, even in bad weather, would get out there and work. And he watched even in difficult, inclement circumstances that they would get out there and they would work in those fields. Because look at me, if they didn't, a few months down the road, there would be no food. So Solomon established some principles on the things that he had seen. And I just want to give them to you as you go home. Because here's the deal. If you've touched heaven this weekend, and hopefully if heaven's touched you, if we're going to change the earth, the only way to change the earth is the gospel seed. Just changing you doesn't necessarily change earth. It's changing you so that you can reach others and God changing them. Principle number one, I want you to write this down. Won't be long. I know you're ready to hit the road. Make sure somebody's awake when they're driving. That's all I can say. Number one, Solomon teaches us the principle here of sowing seed without expecting immediate results. Look at verse 1. Cast thy bread. This term bread is literally seed that grows bread. He said this, cast thy bread upon the waters. It means a ground or a field that has fertile, that's fertile, that has moisture, that can grow. Not over here on hard pan and dust, but you cast your bread upon water, upon land that has water and that can nurture that. Notice this, for thou shalt find it after many days. He teaches this principle that you and I've got to understand that when we sow seed, we can't expect a result immediately. And you and I get discouraged. We want immediate results. Our culture has taught us that. Don't look at me like that. I know how you get if you sit more than 3 minutes in a McDonald's drive-thru. And don't even bring up Chick-fil-A right now. Those lines are out of control. I mean, we want what we want when we want it. We must learn to be patient when we sow seed. Now, this has been hard since COVID. Hey, when COVID first hit, We had to go totally online for about 6-7 weeks before we reopened and things. And thank God we were already set up. We're on TV stations and things and our services and stuff. So we had all the equipment. We were ready to go and all that stuff. And but by the way, can I tell you something interesting? There were some churches in our area that really criticized us because we had screens that I use for my PowerPoint when I preach and things of that nature. And that we have online and we have Facebook Live and stuff. And there's some local guys that really kind of criticized that. But when COVID hit, I called all those guys and said, listen, let my media team come in and we'll set up live stream for you. And we helped 5 of those churches that criticized us get set up for services. Because, you know, sometimes they just don't fully understand. And you just got to go do what God's called you to do. But when COVID hit, guess what? I preach, I like to see reaction. You know, normally I see, but at least I know where I stand, you know, kind of a thing. But when I like to feel, hey, I can tell I'm not communicating. I can tell I am communicating. I at least have a little bit of instant feedback. At least I can preach, give an invitation. Nobody comes. At least I can understand that kind of a thing. But now I'm preaching to a camera. And I know how things go when you watch online services. We all know how it goes. You got your coffee, you're in your recliner. In those first 2 weeks, you're listening to that service. Bless God, COVID, we're all, you know, we're wringing our hands and we're listening to what the preacher said. By about the 7th or 8th week, we got it on the little TV in the kitchen in the background. We're watching something else in here. We're all outside doing this, whatever kind of a thing. I know some of you are better than others, but I'm just calling it real as I see it. And I thought, you know, here I am preaching. Is this even doing any good? Is anybody even listening? I mean, am I just wasting my time? And we all go through that. My staff felt sorry for me. And so I guess they had seen it online somewhere. So I was preaching one Sunday, showed up there just to preach in the auditorium. And we did the whole outdoor service thing. We did the whole broadcast the radio to the parking lot. We did all those things and kind of things. But I got in the auditorium to preach and they had all of our puppets from our children's ministry lined up on the chairs. So there's me and 2 people and the camera and then all these puppets. Amazingly, I got about as much reaction as I do from the live people. While I was preaching, if I'm lying, I'm dying. While I was preaching, one of those puppets fell over. Now, that is an ego buster when you put a puppet to sleep. Even the puppet's like, I'm out. I know some of you are almost there too. I know it. Solomon says, I've watched a lot of things over the years. Solomon's on a search for life, but he said, I have noticed one thing. You work hard, you plant a field, you put that seed in, but it's not going to happen overnight. But if you're faithful to put your bread on the waters, you'll find it after many days. Some of you have been sowing seed into your child, your grandchild, your wayward child. Even your husband. You have sowed and sowed and sowed and you haven't seen any results. And I want to encourage you, when you go home, you need to be encouraged to continue to sow seed. Even without immediate results. Principle number 2, look at verse 2. Solomon teaches us the principle of sowing seed because the future is uncertain. Now look at verse 2. He says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8. Why? For thou, there's the first time we see this, thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Solomon says, hey, listen, you need to sow seed. And when he says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, he's literally talking, commentators, some believe he's talking about fields that, listen, plant seed in 7 fields and plant it in 8 fields because you don't know what's going to happen. And some believe that he's talking about individuals, whatever the case might be. But here's the principle that there's some things that you and I just don't know. Thou knowest not what evil may be upon the earth. If anything should have taught us that, 2020 should have. Because the end of 2019, let me tell you something, our church, we're going to have a big vision year. It's 2020, so, you know, the whole vision thing kind of a thing. And we put together a big old vision book and, I mean, went through, put everything in it, full graphics, a big book of vision, all the ministries we're going to start, all the activities we're going to do, all the revivals we're going to have, all the series through the year that I was going to preach. We put everything on there, put future plans. We put all kinds of stuff. Nice book, worked on it for months, handed it out in January of 2020, and we didn't get to do one thing in that book. There's a lot we don't know. And if anything, we should learn from this whole thing these past few years. There's just a lot of things we don't know. Amen. This is what Solomon said. You need to not just cast your bread on the waters. You need to sow as much seed as you can right now. Because you don't know what evil might be coming. Principle number three. I want you to see. And by the way, I believe there's a verse. Lynn, let me go ahead and read that verse. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You know, we don't know what evil's coming. So this whole thing of give to seven, give to eight means whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Give it your best. Don't get discouraged because you haven't seen immediate results. Get out there and keep sowing seed because you will find it after many days. Principle number three, in verse three, we see the principle of sowing seed for others because someone sowed seed for you. Now, verse three is an interesting verse. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I first read verse three, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, and the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. What? What I want to know is, if there's nobody in the woods and it falls, did it make any noise? Some of you don't even get that. Okay. I was like, what in the world is this verse talking about? And this is so good. Now, notice that first part. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. What do clouds do when they become full? They give out. They give out. This is a picture of God's blessed you so much that you're now full. You and I need to be like the clouds. Somebody sowed seed for us. So now we sow seed to others. You see, I sow seed because my cloud's full. Not everybody's cloud is full. Not everybody is maybe as close to the Lord as you, and maybe everybody doesn't know contentment, maybe like hopefully you as a child of God knows. But even an inanimate object like a cloud, even that knows when it's full, it's time to give out. A cloud doesn't just keep it for himself. It's just a conduit. What comes to the cloud goes to someone else. Is that not our God? You and I are just clouds. You and I need to sow seed because someone sowed seed for us. We've been blessed. Now we need to get out there and bless others. I want you to notice number four. I love this. Sowing seed while you still can. Look at the end of verse three. If a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Well, I struggled over this one. Had to read up on it a little bit. We're still struggling. But it's so simple. What is it saying? Let's say I'm a tree. All right. Large trunk, not tall. I understand. But let's just say I'm a tree. Bad illustration. But let's just say, if a tree is standing there, look at me. And a tree, in the growth process, is leaning one way. What happens when that tree's roots finally dry up, when that tree's life is finally over, when whatever comes, where is that tree going to fall? The direction that it's pointed. You see, you and I need to make sure, listen, when that tree falls, there's no chance to do it all over again. You can't say, well, I've spent my life and I haven't sowed seed. So now I was pointing the wrong direction. And now that it's over, now I need to start changing directions and I need to be pointed over here. No, he says, listen, let me tell you how life is. And Solomon saw this in life. If the tree is hanging that direction and it's pointing that direction and that tree falls, a tree doesn't point this direction and all of a sudden at death, it swaps. But we got people all of a sudden on the deathbed, they want to swap their life. But it's too late. So you better make sure that your tree is pointing in the right direction. You need to sow seed while you can. Some of you might sit here and say, well, preacher, listen, you know, I've been in this a long time. I can't do what I've always been able to do. Oh, dear friend, you can sow some seed. You just make sure you're pointed in the right direction. Whatever time you have left, whatever you have left, God said if you sow that seed, it might be many, many days. You might not even ever see it on earth, but you will find it eventually. You know what I believe heaven's going to be for many of us? Seeing the fruit of some seed we never saw. Number five, verse four, Solomon gives us the principle of sowing seed despite visible obstacles. Look what he says in verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. That means this, that if a man or even a farmer, something like that, if they don't plow or sow till the weather is perfect, if every time they go out the door they find something wrong with the circumstances, something wrong with the weather, it means that just because there's a little wind, they say, well, it's not a good day to sow. And by the way, it's not the best day in the world to sow when it's windy. I mean, you're putting seed out. They didn't have a lot of the mechanical things that we do. But you know, when you throw that seed, the wind blows it. But what he is saying here is this, that if you let the wind, every time you're going to sow seed, and it's a little bit windy, and so you talk yourself out of it and say, well, yeah, I would sow some seed, but you know, it's a little bit windy outside, so I'm not going to do it. And he said, if every time it's cloudy outside, and you say, well, it's a little cloudy, I'm not going to go harvest, you know, that grain and stuff of that nature every time it's a little bit cloudy. In other words, if you have to have everything perfect for you to sow seed, you're never going to sow it. And notice the verse. I love this. Look at the verse. Look what it starts off with. He that observeth the wind, notice this, shall not sow, and how does that reap? Shall not reap. Shall not sow means shall not reap. It means if everything, if all you see are the obstacles, and you don't ever sow any seed, you're never going to reap. May I say, even if it's a bit windy outside, it's better to get some seed where it needs to be than none. Some of you are going home to some difficult situations. Don't think that we don't get that in a room this size. Some of you, it's been great getting out of what you're in all the time. And when you get home, who you're going home to and whatever the situation, they might not be as excited and they're not going to be on the spiritual high that you are, and you're going to face some difficult things and they're not going to be in a good mood, and you know, they've been the ones home, and a lot of times, let me tell you how us husbands are. You leave us the kids for a couple days. Don't expect us to be like, hey, honey, did you have a good time? No, we're sitting in the recliner. How were the kids? They're all right. Look at me. If all we do is wait for things to be perfect to sow seed, we're never going to sow it. Satan will make sure there's always a little wind and there's always some clouds. Well, you know what, I would go give the gospel to people, but you know, people are a little bit nervous right now, and they're a little bit scared, and a little bit, okay, well, that's some wind, but that doesn't mean you can't sow seed. Here Solomon says, listen, it's important to sow seed, even though there's visible obstacles, even though there's some things in your way, and even though there are some things working against you, if you don't sow, you're not going to reap. Jeremiah 8 verse 20 says this, the harvest is past, the summer has ended, we're not saved. Number six, Solomon gives us the principle of sowing seed because of the unseen works of God. Now we're drawing to a close, but this is where I get real excited. You see, he told us in verse 2, let me tell you something, there's some things you don't know. Thou knowest not what evil might be on the earth. It's true. We don't know what bad might come. But look, if you would, at verse 5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so, thou knowest not the works of God. Here's what he's saying. He said, listen, you don't know what evil's coming. You don't know that. And he says, let me tell you something else you don't know. You don't know how the spirit in an individual works. Guess what? A surgeon can go in to your heart. He can go into your lungs. He can go into your body, but he can't find your spirit. But just because he can't find it doesn't mean it's not there. That's the unseen works of God. You don't know how it works, but it's working. Then he says this, you don't know how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Now you and I have ultrasounds nowadays and we can check up progress and we can see what's happening. Look at me, but we can't make it happen. If we could, there would be no birth defects. There would be no, all. If we could control those things, look at me. What he is saying is this, you can't control it, but it doesn't stop it from happening. And when it comes to the spirit, you can't see it, but it doesn't mean it's not there. And he says this, you don't know what evil's coming, but look at the end of the verse. Let me tell you something else you don't know. You don't know what God's doing behind the scenes. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean God's not doing it. Whew. Yeah, you don't know what evil's coming, but you don't know how God works either. I was preaching to those puppets. A new low. Get in your car Sunday morning, get in your car Sunday night. I was putting online content every day. Started a podcast that I still do called Believing Together. And I did this thing where we could believe together even when we couldn't be together. And I'm doing everything you do. We had teen services online, online content, children's ministries online. Man, we're working and working. And I'm sitting there thinking, is this just a waste of our time? Why don't I just like everybody else just go, stay at home during these weeks? I didn't realize that up in New Jersey, there was a young man who was a salesman for a pest control company. It's called Aptiv. And this young man, even though he was young, he was just a salesman, worked his way up in this company. And he was now in charge of other salesmen up there in New Jersey. And one of his salesmen was a Latino gentleman who didn't really speak English very well. And not only that, he was a horrible salesman. He was pitiful at it. But he was always happy. And this guy, his name was David Rogers. And David comes to this guy and says, listen, you're horrible at this. You stink at it. You need to find something else. But I do want to know, you're always happy. You're miserable and you're not making any money. Why are you happy? And in his broken English, he tried to tell him that he knew Jesus Christ. And he couldn't really communicate a lot with them, and David was saying, but he said, you need to go to a good church. About that time, Aptiv transferred David Rogers to Raleigh, North Carolina. He ends up in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he has that salesman's comments on his head, and he starts this, at this new field there, and he's working with salesmen and different things, and he kept thinking about what that man said. And so this man, he could get out from him that he went to a Baptist church. And so he began to look up Baptist churches, found a Baptist church, and went to that church. But they weren't having services. They were just online services kind of a thing also. And he showed up there, and there was a man there. And that man asked him, he said, well, where do you? He said, well, I just got transferred here to Raleigh. He says, but on weekends sometimes he had some family kind of close to Kernersville. And the guy said, well, you got to look up a Kerwin Baptist Church. So David went back to the house, is in Raleigh, and pulled up Kerwin Baptist Church to our online services. And he listened Sunday morning, and he listened Sunday night, and he listened Wednesday night. And after about 8 or 9 weeks listening and hearing and understanding on one of those online stream services, he got down on his knees right there at the computer and asked Jesus Christ to save him. He decided when he realized that we were back in person services, he began to drive from Raleigh every Sunday. And he came about almost 3 or 4 or 5 services, 5 weeks or so, and I had never even met him. We had, you know, we offered different services and all these different things, and there was just a lot of in and out between and kind of a thing. And finally, one day, I'd seen this man. I said, hey, you know, I went up, talked to him, and it's good to have you. And he sat here and told me this story. And guess what I realized? While I'm preaching to puppets and they're falling over, there's a guy that was in New Jersey that transferred to Raleigh, and somebody told him about the church, and he's watching while I'm thinking it's not doing any good. God was working in ways that I couldn't see. Ended up doing his wedding in Asheville area, married a pastor's daughter. Sowing seed because of the unseen works of God. That's why it's important for you not to expect immediate results. Because God's at work. You can't see it. You might never see it. But we sow seed because by faith, we believe he's working. Number seven, this is the last, we're done. You're almost to the van. Or the car, or the bicycle, however you came. Look at verse six. He gives us the principle of sowing seed for the potential of miraculous harvest. Well, after all these verses, what does Solomon come up with? Look at verse 6. He says, so in the morning, sow thy seed. I know you've been paralyzed, and I know that there's a lot of wind out there right now in our culture, and I know it's pretty cloudy out, and I know it's kind of caused you don't know what to do and don't know what's best to do, and so what we've ended up is kind of doing nothing, and we don't really talk to people anymore, and we don't really reach out anymore, and we haven't been sowing seed. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't know how the spirit of a man works, but it's there. You can't see it, but it's there. And you don't know how a child grows in the womb of a mother, but that child still grows. And I'm just telling you, that's how God works. You can't see it, you can't make it happen, but God's working behind the scenes. So in the morning, instead of making excuses, and instead of checking the weather, and instead of seeing if it's windy or not, get up in the morning and sow thy seed. Amen. Don't you love it? But he goes further. Look at it. And in the evening, withhold not thine hand. He said, let me tell you how I'm serious about it. And this is what Solomon saw. Let me tell you, get out in the morning and sow your seed. And I tell you what, don't even stop. In the evening, sow seed too. Don't just come up with 1 hour a week, you're going to sow seed. Amen. Now listen, I'm all for what programs churches have, because we've got to have corporate evangelism and all those things. But one thing that's a problem, sometimes people think if they come to that 30-minute thing once a month, they don't have to do anything the rest of the time. Amen. All of us should be sowing seed morning and night. Amen. And this is what he said, in the morning, sow thy seed. But in the evening, don't stop. Don't withhold your hand. Go ahead and put some seed out then. Why? Look what he says. I love this. He says, for thou knowest not. Uh-oh, there's another thing we don't know. He said, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that. Notice this. Or whether they both. He said, listen, get out in the morning and sow your seed. Don't stop. In the evening, sow your seed. I'll tell you why. Because you don't know. Maybe that morning seed didn't take, but there's going to be a harvest come from that evening seed. It might be this or that. Or it might be that what you sow in the morning, it takes and works, and what you sow in the evening doesn't. But if you sow in the morning and evening, one of them might work. And he says, you never know. They both might. They both might. Could you imagine that miraculous harvest? I have a lady in our church named Beth Hall, and I was preaching one Sunday at our church. Her mother was visiting there, and her mother came up to me, and sweet as can be, and she said, listen, I just got to tell you a story about my husband. My husband was a lay preacher, worked a job, but preached in churches some, but he was big on evangelism. He'd just go visit, and we lived near Orlando, Florida, and she says, well, my husband would go preach on the street corner. Years ago, a lot of that went on. Guys would just go in the street corner, and that's when people were downtown a lot, and they would preach to them, and nowadays, downtown isn't where most people are, kind of a thing. And she said he would just go down there and he would preach every once in a while. And she said one day he came in from work and he said, sweetheart, God told me to go downtown Orlando and preach on the street this evening. And so he got changed real quick, got in his car, drove about the 45, 50 minutes to downtown Orlando and got there right on an intersection, had, you know, some high-rise apartment buildings and stores and things. And he got on that street corner and he started preaching the gospel. People were walking by everywhere and he was preaching the gospel. And all of a sudden, about 15 minutes into it, as it can happen in Florida, which is where I'm from, all of a sudden the bottom came out of the sky. And it didn't just start rain, it started pouring. I mean, it was just pouring. And the streets emptied, and that man kept preaching. He later told his wife that I wanted to stop, and I thought, yeah, I need to stop. Nobody's out here, but God said, just keep preaching. So he preached another 45 minutes, and that rain pouring down on him. And finally, he was done, drenched, got in his car and left. She said he came home that night. He was drenched from head to toe. And he came in and I said, what in the world? What happened to you? And he said, well, it rained on me. She said, well, why didn't you? He said, well, I just kept preaching. God told me to. And she said, I think sometimes you're crazy. I really do. He got a shower, ate some supper, went to bed, went back to work the next day. About 4 weeks later, he came home, she said. And he said, you know, sweetheart, God told me to go back downtown this evening. They had some kind of a function downtown. He said, there'll be a lot of people. He got in his car and drove that 50 minutes to downtown Orlando and found that little intersection, started preaching the gospel. And about 8 minutes into that, he's preaching that gospel, and this man comes and says, excuse me, sir, I know you're preaching, but can I talk to you for a second? And he said, well, certainly. And this black gentleman comes to him, and he says, can I ask you a question? He said, well, yeah. He said, were you preaching here about 4 or 5 weeks ago? Right here on this corner. He said, well, yes, I was. He says, what's your name? He said, my name's Roy Edwards. He said, why? And he pointed up about the fourth floor. He said, I live in an apartment right there. And he said, it's not a nice apartment. He said, but it, you know, it was Florida. He said, I had my window up. And he said, I was in my apartment. And he said, I was, among the mountains with you, I was getting ready to do drugs. He said, I hear this guy preaching. I'm like, where in the world is that coming from? And so he said, I came out, looked out the window, and he said, you were preaching. And he said, I just kind of stopped there for a minute. I was listening to you. He said, all of a sudden, rain started pouring. And Roy said, yeah, I remember that. He said, I reached up, got the window, because it was pouring. He said, it was the water. And he said, so I kind of closed the window about halfway. And he said, I looked down, and I thought, that man is still preaching. He said, I thought that guy must believe what he's saying. He said, I pulled up a chair by the window and he said, I listened to you. He said, water's kind of splashing in. He said, I was looking right down at you and he said, I could hear you. And he said, you were preaching. And he said, here I am getting ready to do drugs, just got nothing going on in my life. And he said, I was listening to you preach. He said, I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, if that man's correct, you love me. And I'm asking you today to save me. He said, I stood back up and I looked down and you were gone. He said, I've always wondered. He said, I found a church that next week. And he said, I got baptized last week. And he said, I'm trying to serve the Lord. He said, but I didn't know who to thank. He said, you showed up. And he said, I just want to thank you for preaching in the rain. Look at me. I was sitting there. I wasn't there, but I was crying. She said, my husband's in heaven now. She said, I just wanted to tell you that. This man's preaching to nobody. Oh, but look at me. The seed you throw out in the morning, the seed you throw out at night, you never know what might take. You never know what God might use. You never know God might use it all. I think some of us have stopped preaching because of the rain. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I love you. All of us are here today because somebody sowed seed for us. God, somehow, whatever good that these precious ladies have gotten out of this week, help them to somehow go home with a motivation. Even though they're not going to see it immediately, and even though the results might not pop up out of the ground real fast. But somehow, someway, by faith, there's a lot we don't know about evil. But there's a lot we don't know about you, God. We don't know how you work. We don't know what you might use. We can't see it going on, but you're busy behind the scenes. All you ask is that we get up in the morning and sow our seed.